Hi everyone, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Good to see you today. I hope this video finds you in good health and secure. And I say video, but I also mean, as you know, these videos are all available as podcasts, right? You can download them and listen to them whenever you want, and I'll start out by saying thank you so much. I usually wait till the end, but thank you to all of you who contribute, either through Patreon or on your own through PayPal. Everything you do is critical for the continued content creation on this channel and keeping this channel up. You know, everything from paying the ISP and various entities that all want their payment for keeping this online, so on and so forth. So today I wanted to talk about something, and yes, like and subscribe, share these videos. It's good. I wanted to talk today about something that's, you know, I've been practicing this Buddhism and Buddhism in general for more than 40 years. And I've also investigated a lot of other philosophies and religions. I was born Catholic, and that's a uniquely Catholic statement, isn't it? Born Catholic. I wasn't born Catholic, but I was born and quickly ushered into the auspices of the Catholic diocese, right? Investigated Judaism, Kabbalah, some Islam, some other Asian religions, Jainism and Hinduism, and I don't know. I was a seeking spirit for a long time. I still am, but my focus is Buddhism. Buddhism is a much more, in my experience, a much more accurate description of what life, human life, society, everything based on the individual and our own efforts. Our world is of our own making, and since that applies to all of us, the societal aspect of all of us individuals is that we must respect that others' experience, others' world experience, life experience, is specific to them, and that not everything we know or experience is going to be homogeneous or the same. And so to exist as a society of individuals, there has to be respect, but there also has to be accountability, real accountability, equanimous accountability. Because that implies that we all have, all our values are based on a certain baseline, a criteria of being a good human. This is something that over my experience in my life, religion absolutely does not do. Religion is a very hierarchical. There are people who are better than others. Some who are just too stupid to expect anything else from. And so this whole politic of governance takes on a very different picture, doesn't it? Those who are closer to a deity and those who are running around like animals that need to be governed. I know I'm being very direct about this, but truly, if you think about it with any amount of honesty, you'll see that religion is a form of politic and governance, whereas Buddhism is a strict guide to self-governance, to responsibility. And you can't be self-responsible without using that same measure of humanity on every other human being. That's equanimity, right? The rules aren't just for you. They're for all life. That changes the way you interact, right? So, that brings me to today's topic. And I don't want to offend anyone here, just right off the bat. But I will tell you, as I read somewhere, I wish I could credit the author on this, but I don't remember his name, said something very clearly that has probably been said before, but the way he put it succinctly in his book or his essay was the very words that we use to say this, that we take offense, that we are offended, is a process of taking offense. And very simply, that is on you. If I take offense to something you've said, that's not your problem. You may have offered something offensive, but whether or not it's offensive or how deeply it's offensive is really a function of how you see the world and how you are reacting to it. For me to take that position and impose it on myself, to take that offense, that's my problem. That's my insecurity. That's my lack of strength in my own identity. Right? I know this is hard, but really, look at it objectively. For a very long time, and I don't know if this is innate in me, if it's a cultural thing, but I can remember back into my teens, at some point I made a decision. And, you know, maybe it's, I don't want to theorize too much, but as a kid, I was teased a lot. I was beat up. I was the nerd in school. I was that kid. And it offended me deeply, but I took offense, right? Fatty, fatty, 2x4, can't get booted back. From those moments of childhood to my mother, as messed up as she may be, had these cliches she would constantly tell me, you know. Sticks and stones may break my bones, words will never hurt me. Those platitudes didn't help me, but the thought that I put behind them made me inquisitive as to how, in other words, whether we feel badly, or feel bad, more correctly, is really a function of our own choosing. That's what I got out of that. And so as I got older, when people would try to insult me, you know, the things about your mother this or your blah, 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 it would instantly make me laugh. It's at a very early age, I understood when people did that, they were exposing their weaknesses. They were exposing their inability to express themselves and using some sort of their version of brutality to somehow cause me harm. But they weren't harming me. They were just exposing their ignorance. And it made me laugh. And I didn't understand till far much later when I started to study Buddhism, and well into my Buddhist study, I will add, that I was much more right in my understanding of the dynamic in society than I understood. And, I'm sure that was one of many reasons why Buddhism truly appealed to me. There was a profound logic in Buddhist thinking. It wasn't mystical. It wasn't magical. It was, this is the way things are. This is the way phenomena is. And that light, whether it was bright or dim as throughout the years of my learning Buddhism, that guided me through everything in Buddhism. And so we come to this word that comes up. It's inculcated into our vernacular. I think most people say it without really considering what they're saying. And some people say it and actually don't mean it. They mean something else. But there's two components to the word forgive and forgiveness. The first is that you're positioning yourself as an authority who's superior to that person or thing or situation that you are offended by, or that has actually harmed you. And what you are in essence saying is, I absolve you of responsibility because you're just too stupid to understand what you can do to change yourself. That's the hidden dialogue that we don't think about. That's the arrogant part. You don't know better. Right? You're like a bear. I can't blame you for chewing my leg off. You're a bear. I, on the other hand, am a sophisticated, strong-willed human. And I can forgive you. It's so condescending. But like everything else, it's a mirror. You're also absolving yourself of responsibility. How is that, you say? Because by forgiving the ignorance, you absolve yourself of the responsibility to help that individual rise above that ignorance. See, now Buddhism doesn't let you get away with that. Buddhism recognizes the misshapen idea of phenomena and responsibility and individual and equanimity, because Buddhism never forgives. If you see that in a translation, it's wrong. Buddhism is about compassion. How is that different, you say? How is compassion different from forgiveness? Because the very roots of the word compassion are based on equanimity, co-suffering, and the deep desire to elevate out of suffering. As I say these words, you must be hearing the words of Shakyamuni right now. It's in our Gangyo, right? That we do hopefully twice a day. Come on, page turning karma. At all times I think to myself, how can I cause living beings to gain entry into the unsurpassed way and quickly acquire the body of a Buddha? That's one translation. Basically, my thought process as I consciously move through the day, is how to elevate others to this path of awakening Buddha. How do I facilitate that? How do I assist that? That is the Bodhisattva way. It is compassion. So, one, if somebody is obviously trying to offend you, or you are trying to offend somebody else, understand that every word that comes out of your mouth, whether you're trying to offend or you're offering an opinion on somebody or something, or you're talking about politics, whatever it is, every word that comes out of your mouth is, attach it like a hook, line, and sinker. The words are bringing out your karma. They're exposing who you are to the world. That's something to consider when you start talking in public or in private. What are you actually saying? As much as you think you're describing something outside yourself, remember in Buddhism, there is no division between you and your environment. So as you describe your environment, so too are you actually describing yourself, your vision of yourself. So when somebody is saying something and suddenly you find it offensive, well, that's on you. Even if that's their intent, what are they expressing? Their discontent, their offense, their disquiet, their difficulty, their karma, their life condition has nothing to do with you. But if you listen to it and savor it, and see it as somehow a definition of yourself, A, you're attached too much to your ego, your monkeys, yourself, which doesn't exist. So take that straw man, put it out here and let it receive all of that and laugh. Wow, look at what you're doing. But with compassion, not forgiveness, I forgive you for calling me a this or that or that. No. You should know that when you say those things, you're exposing a lot of hurt in yourself. And I would like to help you to alleviate where that hurt is coming from. Well, you did this and you made me this and you said that. No. Your hurt is your own. And if I said those things, and you got to be honest with yourself here, because maybe you did some things meant to offend, right? Or harm. Harm is very different than offense. Offense is just in the air. Harm is actual. It's physical. It's liable? You write down an opinion for others to see, or you do a video, and you promulgate this idea that is slanderous or hurtful to some. That's actual damage. That's harm, right? There are consequences to that interaction. But I'm just talking person to person here. Somebody says something you don't like. Why are you offended? Is there a modicum of truth to it? If there is, then you have something to work on. Thank you. You haven't offended me. You've pointed out something that I've neglected to correct or not seen in myself. You've given me something to go to my Gohonzon, to my chant, to my mandala, to try to figure out what's the mechanism I'm using here to create that environment. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's not an offense. Maybe it's a teaching moment. That takes a lot of self-value. Right? Don't just blame yourself, though, idly. Look honestly at yourself. But the other way around is, I don't forgive you for saying those things. What I see is that you're in pain. And I want to help you. Not to see me differently, but to see your own pain. To see how we can get beyond what it is that's really perturbing you. I guarantee you 99 times out of 100, it's going to be ego. They took offense and therefore they're trying to offend back. And you have no control over what offense they took, right? It's the taking of offense. You may have said something completely normal to you and they took it deeply as offensive. Well, they have to be made responsible for that. But as a Buddhist, your compassion wants to understand their pain, their suffering, and you want to guide them out of it. See, forgiveness does not do that. It just plops everything down and says, well, we won't acknowledge it. Now, you may not mean that when you say forgive, and I understand if that's not what you mean, but words have consequences, both for the speaker and the hearer or the reader. So I've got two things I printed out of the computer here, so it's not just me blah, blah, blahing. And I looked up the etymology of both words. Etymology is the root, where these words come from, whether it was their original meaning. And forgive, the root is perdonare, to give completely, which was literally adopted from Old German and later by Old English, where per became for and the meaning of completely. The root for forgive is the Latin word perdonare, meaning to give completely without reservation. That perdonare is also the source of our English pardon. When the Latin perdonare was adopted into Germanic ancestor of English, it was translated piece by piece. This is about the sound of the word prefix. Well, I'll read it. Result what linguists call a calque, from the French calcaire, to trace or copy, or to calculate. A literal translation, per was replaced for for by for, a prefix that in this case means thoroughly, and donare, or gifan, to give. Do you see? It's the gift of not being responsible, which in Buddhism is a heinous misunderstanding of how life works. You don't have the power to do that. You don't have the power to absolve somebody else's responsibility. We're all responsible. Do you see how arrogant this word is? The result for giffen appeared in Old English meaning to give up, to allow. I'm going to give up on you. I'm going to allow you to be a beast. As well as to give in marriage. Ooh, you ladies, you've got to be stinging from hearing that one. In modern English, forgive has also taken on the meanings of to pardon for an offense. Isn't that interesting? So we treat offense there as an actual thing that is given, when in fact it isn't. It may be offered, but it has to be taken in order to be an offense. So that very sentence is questionable. Renounce anger at, forgive you for feeding bean tacos to my dog, and to abandon a claim on, as in forgive a debt. Now, maybe it still has some use in the English language for financial matters. But I would rather say I'm abandoning a claim on you for this money. I wouldn't want to use the word forgive. It should just not even be in the English language. But, you know, you don't forgive someone for feeding beans tacos to your dog. What you do is you educate them on not feeding bean tacos to animals, to dogs, right? You take the responsibility of helping them see that their behavior is not appropriate. You don't say, oh, it's okay, I understand you're an idiot, and you fed my dog beans and it almost died because you did that. It's okay, I understand. So now the recipient of that forgiveness can go, oh, well, She just didn't like that I fed beans to her dog. But there's nothing wrong with feeding beans to a dog. I do it all the time for that German Shepherd that comes through the backyard every week. They don't understand. They haven't been educated. They haven't been taught that this is a serious problem for a dog's digestive system. And you, I, we have absconded our own agency to elevate the situation. Because as we elevate others, so do we ourselves. Bodhisattva. Do you see how this is just incompatible with Buddhism? If you understand what the person did, then you've already admitted that you are cognizant and with compassion for the dog and that person, as well as yourself, explain the situation and elevate. That's compassion. That's not forgiveness. Let's look at compassion for a minute. Compassion motivates people to put forth a selfless effort in helping the physical, mental, or emotional pains of another and themselves. Now, I'm not particularly fond of the wording here, this selfless effort. See, that's very Christian. There's no such thing as selfless. If there were such a thing as selfless acts, then you wouldn't be here. I understand there is not truly a self, but that's Buddhist reasoning of our particular karmic identity. But in samsara, we are locked into this identification, aren't we? So we practice Buddhism knowing full well that we acknowledge our samsaric foibles, but that samsaric set of circumstances is also the reason we have a mind that we can perceive its fallacies. So our only mission in this life is to clear that up, because what is Buddhism for? Living this life well, reaching our maximal potential. So we don't deny samsara. We simply wish to influence it into a more life-affirming way. That's why the egalitarianism. Because this is true for all life. With our consciousness, we can catch it being attached and suffering. And isn't that what Buddhism is about? Liberating ourselves from that suffering, less and less in the world. Our actions and everyone else's as well, because as bodhisattvas, we understand that we are not singular, independent things. That with my actions, yours are influenced. And through your actions, my life condition is influenced. So let's all make it better. That's compassion. So it's not selfless. But it is helping the physical, mental, or emotional pains of another and themselves. Now, this is where it kind of goes back on what it just says, because it helps you as well, your life condition. Though when based on cerebral notions such as fairness, justice, and interdependence, here's Buddhism, it may be considered rational in nature and its application understood as an activity also based on sound judgment. There is also an aspect of equal dimension, such as an individual's compassion is often given a property of depth, vigor, or passion. The etymology of compassion is Latin, meaning co-suffering. Compassion involves feeling for another and is a precursor to empathy, the feeling as another, capacity for better person-centered acts of active compassion, in common parlance, Active compassion is the desire to alleviate others' suffering. So, whenever you hear, and it's in our vernacular, it's in our the way we think. So this is one of those things that when we practice, we do our Ganga, we chant, we study Buddhism. That's all important. But why do we do it? It is to retrain our behavioral mind, our samsaric life identity. We know that that's temporary and it only exists here in samsara. But we practice Buddhism so we can maximize the influence and the experience of this samsaric activity through our Buddha-ness, our Buddha mind. So we take on the Bodhisattva way, which is active compassion is the desire to alleviate others' suffering. And my own, right? Another and themselves. This is what Buddhism is about. So when you find yourself wanting to use, or you hear yourself, or you see yourself write, forgive or forgiveness or whatever, immediately catch yourself. That's a monkey. Part of your monkey mind. It's trained. And the minute you do that, reconsider. That should be compassion. Now, if you replace that word with compassion, rethink what led you to say forgive, and you may see that your whole tract of understanding that led you to use this word forgive is distorted. That your whole grammar thinking process that brought you to this word was actually in service of that word. And that if you reevaluate how you got to that thinking and you impose the thought of compassion in that situation, you might see that situation very differently. Now, that doesn't mean that we all have to be a martyr. Bodhisattva is not a martyr. Right? Don't go too far the other way on the pendulum here. It doesn't mean you have to give up on yourself. See, that selflessness, that's just not a good word. It's more attached to forgiveness, honestly. Right? There's no denial in Buddhism. There's no... it's going to sound like a conundrum, but there's no denial of your entity as an influential phenomena in this life, which you might label self. But the understanding of that in Buddhism is that that self is an ephemeral, created thing. It's not an identity. It's not what you are, how you are. It is not the phenomena of you and life. It's a shorthand. And we have to understand that that's what it is. It's not a real thing. Your moment-to-moment life process and the actions you take is your life form in samsara. Don't let the identification and cubbyholing of what that is in samsara halt you, because the moment it does, you will experience suffering. It's kind of a here or there, like the edge of a razor. And this is why we practice. This is why we learn. This is why we look deeply into the stories that Shakyamuni gave us to understand the way our mind works. Not so that we can become brilliant scholars of Buddhism, but so we can become brilliant scholars of our life. What's happening here? I don't care what happened here yesterday. What's happening here now? How am I moving forward toward less suffering and more amazement? And how am I bringing you with me? How am I helping you surpass me? How are you helping me? How are you teaching me? Everything is my teacher, right? It's in the, I haven't looked at that in a long time, but it's in the Zange. You remember the Zange? I don't know if you can see that. Where is it? I know it's in here. Oh, it's a lot of verbiage here. I would need to change. I don't know if I still have this online or not. But basically, it's a meditation on getting through an obstacle. And it's handy here because oftentimes when we're struggling with this forgive or compassion, how do we respond to the suffering that we're feeling and why are we feeling it? Zange is just a meditation on how did I attract this? Why is this here now? It's here for my benefit. Everything is my teacher. That is the premise. And instead of feeling suffering and hurt or anger or whatever it is I'm feeling, stop that. That's your monkeys. Set all that over here and look at it objectively, Buddha-ness, and understand the lesson here. What am I meant to learn here? And that's how you approach your obstacles. So compassion trumps forgiveness every day. We are Buddhists, we are Bodhisattvas. We are compassionate creatures. We don't go around absolving responsibility from ourselves or others. Because that's just quitting. What was the word that was used here? To give completely without reservation, to, what was it? Abandon, renounce. I mean, listen to all those words in the description of forgiveness. They're abhorrent. There's no responsibility in that at all. How that can be rhetoricized into something superior, only religion could do that. But, you know, I'm not saying if you use it, you're religious. What I'm saying is it's inculcated into our culture. And you must recognize that it is through these little subtle ways. Sometimes it's language. Sometimes it's just behaviors. That we keep training our minds to behave in this way. And that's why we have suffering. Because we don't clearly understand the causes we're making, the karma that we're instantiating and nurturing and continuing to build into the next moment, the next moment, the next moment. This is why we practice Buddhism. So we can catch those and we start to retrain our ideas of how to be an excellent human, a bodhisattva, somebody who thinks with Buddha-ness. Right? So I hope that brought some insights. If I stirred up some stuff, you're welcome. I don't know, the comments could get wild here. So please have compassion. think on this. This is a subject that brings many insights and will continue to, I promise you. In the meantime, I'm proud of you for getting to the end of this video. Thanks again for watching. Don't forget, you can download it as a podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And gosh, take care of your health. And this very much is the root of when I say, be kind to yourself and others. By be kind, I don't mean let yourself off the hook. By be kind, I mean understand deeply your strengths and your weaknesses so that you can build a better you and world, because the two are codependent. And I'll see you in the next video and podcast. Take care. Bye for now. Hey, thank you for being here. Did you know there's a third way you can help support this channel? And it won't cost you a cent. Yep, if you are not able to be a patron on Patreon or use the PayPal me at .com at Sifu Sylvain, because you don't have the financial fortune to help support this channel right now, you, as I say, always support this channel by watching, but you can also help us grow so that maybe one day we can get over 10,000 subscribers and YouTube will grace us with monetization. It's not a lot, but if you can make sure you're subscribed and share a video, like a simple one, just go into the search criteria and type monk and you'll have a video that'll come up that's been up for years about what is a monk. You know, it's called monk, who, how, where, something like that. That might be a great introduction to somebody who doesn't understand what a monk is to begin with. It's a tool. Use this channel as a tool to help you with your bodhisattva practice, and share a video to somebody who you think, oh, I know somebody who'll benefit from watching this. And in that way, you can help us grow. And that's a really good way to help your practice along as well. So just wanted to drop that in on you in case that's something that you might find useful. Take care of yourself again, and I'll see you soon. Bye.